In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer county. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stan.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the James.
Steel. James, 8. Y'all niggas better give me my $5. I put that on the set. I need to go get me some Warner Mirror. My motherfucking feet fucking with me. Gangsta Chronicles my ass. Pay Granny her money. This Gangsta Granny. Y'all know me. Where you at?
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles. Make sure you hit that iHeart button, subscribe, like, rate, and comment. For my iPhone users, make sure you go to that purple button on your phone. That's the Apple Podcast button. Subscribe to the show, leave a comment so we can keep bringing you this content. You know, despite weed being illegal under federal law as a Schedule I drug, the U.S. legal marijuana industry was estimated at $13.6 billion in 2019, creating 340,000 jobs devoted to the handling of marijuana. According to the New Frontier data, a total of 38 states and the District of Columbia have legalized marijuana for medical use, 15 of which allow adults to legally consume the drug for recreational use as of 2020. One of those people that have pioneered the business is our guest tonight, Virgil Grant. But first, I want to introduce my homeboys.
Big J.
Jia.
You know, man, and this is crazy. In 2004, Virgil opened the first cannabis shop south of the 10 freeway in L.A. And later, he opened several more shops. Successful businessman and everything, doing everything proper. But his business became the target of federal, you know, the whole conflict between the federal and state law. Right. So while they legalized the stuff, the federal government is studying saying that it's legal. Anyway, his shops kept getting cracked and shut down and everything. And then he was incarcerated for 6 years, and he was released in 2014. And we have him here today with us inside of his wonderful establishment. Thank you for having us over.
Oh, yeah, it's a pleasure.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you for having us over, man. So we have a situation that you was doing everything the right way. Had all your paperwork, permits in order, wasn't doing no monkey business, but they kept raiding the shops.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, you know, that's They did, you know, the story that I really tell is that prior to my raids, they did about 8 to 11 raids in West Hollywood and Hollywood. Mm. Right before my raids, we talking probably less than 30 days before I got raided. Nobody went to jail, everybody reopened. They raided me 30 days later, and guess what?
You went to jail.
Whoa.
So it's just, go ahead, James.
What was the difference? I mean, you had license for this shit.
I'm black, they white. Mm. I mean, that was really the difference because they operated under the same color of the law that I operated under.
And
with the same guidelines I was operating under. So there was no difference. Matter of fact, they were a little bit wilder than me.
Do you attest that to them knowing that you were in the weed game before, or you know, because of the street ties or whatever, or because of the color of the skin? What do you feel?
I would say more the color of the skin, because I wasn't on the radar with my street ties. I always stayed off the radar. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, I had two prior state convictions of cannabis prior to that I did state time in before the Fed time. But that wasn't on the radar. I wasn't on the radar as active street sales.
Right. So they had to get you. They had to prove a point.
I mean, you know, I don't know if it was a point to prove or if it was just we got to take another brother down. Now, you got to keep in mind, I had six locations at this time. So I'm moving stronger than anybody in the industry, stretching from Compton to the Valley.
Okay.
So, you know, all of that played a factor.
Yeah.
The fact that when the feds investigated me, and I knew they was investigating me, they was following me around. I seen them sitting on Long Beach Boulevard at the Rite Aid. You know, they had their video cameras out, and, you know, I could see them. I just continued to operate everything, you know, right. I didn't, you know, cut no corners. I didn't do no backdoor deals or nothing like that. You know, but they still came at me.
What did they get you on?
So they charged me with 41 counts. Conspiracy to distribute 100 kilograms or more of marijuana THC product. Promotional money laundering and money laundering. So when it was all said and done, then what they did is they grabbed my wife, right? So this was the kicker. She worked for AAA.
Okay.
She never even worked at the stores, even been in the stores, running the stores like that, you know. But they pulled her in to get me to go on and take a deal because they knew I was getting ready to fight them all the way. And I had the support of the industry. And they knew that. And the industry didn't look like me. So I had the support of a bunch of white people that was backing me up. When we were doing a rally in front of the federal building, they, you know, and one of the feds told me, he said, I seen you out there in your suit in front of the federal building rallying with your, you know, with your activists, you know, cannabis activists. You know, so they knew already what I was about politically. Mm-hmm. In the industry and as an owner operator, you see what I'm saying. So, you know,
they was watching you, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. But shoot, they only stayed on me because it was simple. They only stayed on me 47 days. Like their investigation was literally 47 days, which means you didn't have nothing to investigate. You seen me go to Crenshaw. You see me go to my Compton store. You see me go to my Gardena store. You see me go to my downtown store. And you see me take my kids to school in the morning. Right? So this is all, they seeing what I'm doing. That I'm not, you know, meeting somebody in a back alley or nothing like that.
You're not doing under the table deals.
Under the table deals. You know, when they arrested me, when they actually picked me up, I had my five daughters in the car taking them to school. And they pulled me over.
Wow.
They had a Carson sheriff. I was in Carson. They had a Carson sheriff pull me over. And then he said, I can't tell you much. But I already knew what the deal was.
Right.
I already knew. When they pulled me over and there was no traffic stop or no reason to pull me over, it just hit me. Oh, they here for me. This what this is about, right? So then they handed me, he cuffed me. Put me in the back seat of the car, took me from my kids, And I'm sure they got on their cell phone, started calling up their auntie, their grandmama, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, and handed me off to the feds, and they, you know, traded cuffs on me, and then put me in the car with the leading agent, because he wanted to be the one to bring me in, which name was Patrick Kelly. So, you know, he's...
White dude.
Yeah, he's advanced his career, like he was doing... what do you call it, for the president. He was bodyguarding for the president and stuff like that, Secret Service. So his career, a lot of people from the judge, his career catapulted from this. Chris Louie, which, and I remember all these cats by first
from
and last
case.
Name from my case.
Yeah, I guess you do.
He became a judge. The AUSA became a judge. And then, I mean, just everybody that was involved in that case was able to, from
excel
what they did in L.A.
Further their career.
Yeah.
So they just made this out of a big-ass situation, more than what it was.
More than what it was.
This was the licensed. You was doing everything legit. You didn't have no problem, no hanging out, no bullshit at
none
your
of
shops.
That. You wouldn't even know I was there if you didn't know I was there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody knew. That was the only dispensary in Compton, first of all. It was the only dispensary south of the 10 freeway. So Long Beach hadn't opened up, Southgate, Bell or Maywood, none of those even existed. We talking 2004.
Right.
So we talking when there were very few shops even in the industry.
Exactly.
And I was one of the first.
Well, you know, I know you spoke upon your prior arrest before that, but you being a legal business owner, that should have negated all that other stuff. How did they think they had the right? Like, out of all these people that they previously popped, no one went to jail, but you went to jail. Do you think it possibly had been some kind of collusion between them and some of the white shops, maybe somebody that was jealous of your success possibly turning you in?
I can say that when I went to court, that judge was hell-bent on me going to jail, period. Because the questions he asked and the answers he got. So let me explain this. When I went to jail the first time, they arrested me and my wife. Because she had no criminal history, she got out on a signature bond. I had to bail out, $250,000 bail, so I bailed out. Took me 30 days because they have to appraise your house. They got to make sure the money is clean money,
right,
and so on and so forth. So I bailed out 30 days later and was on pretrial. And so as I was on pretrial, I was still circulating through my shops. My shops were back open, up and running, and I'm circulating through my shops. So they come and catch me at my Gardena store, right? I'm opening up, going into my Gardena store. And the next thing you know, I hear something banging on the door. I'm thinking one of the customers. I look up at my video camera, and I see them in riot gear. And I look at the back door, right? Because I'm like, I can hit this back door. You know, I've been running track all my life. I was Linwood's number one quarter miler and hurdler. You feel me? So I was like, okay, it's still on.
You know what I'm
saying? Hey, man, I done ran before, so I'm not tripping, right? So I said, this the feds. They know. They done been everywhere. They done been in my house. They know who I am, know where I'm at. All right, let me just go on and see what this is about. So I opened up the door. They get me on the ground, the leading agent, Chris Louie, again. It's our second time meeting each other once again. The first time when he cuffed me, the second time when he recuffed me, right? So he looked down, he said, Virgil, and then I turn up and look at him. He said, yeah, get him up off the floor, get inside, and close the store up. So he wanted everybody inside like nothing ever happened. And pulled me inside, and then they begin to take all the product out the store. Long story short, when I go to in front of the judge say, was there anything in his pretrial conditions saying that his stores couldn't be open while he's on pretrial? Said, no, Your Honor. So was there anything in his pretrial conditions saying he couldn't be at his stores while on pretrial? No, Your Honor. So I'm thinking, shit.
You good.
I'm good. I'm about to get out. Man, they kept my ass locked up. I didn't, no matter what. The judge even asked a question to my attorney, was he licensed in every one of his locations? And my attorney was like, yes, here are his licenses right here. I'm thinking, oh, this is it right here. All right, the judge understand. Shit. they took my ass back in that cell when it was all said and done, and fought it from the inside.
No, man, they wanted you bad.
Yeah.
It was obvious. It was obvious, yeah. You know, because after all of that, it was still, and then Obama put out the Cole memo. The Cole memo, this was I'm still in under the Obama administration, but he bring the Cole memo. Our judge wasn't trying to hear none of that. I couldn't say medical. I couldn't say patients. I could not use that language or terminology in federal court. Why? Because it is a Schedule I drug. They don't give a damn about medical marijuana.
That's fucked up.
And could you explain to the people out there that may not be familiar with the schedules, like what a Schedule I drug is exactly?
So let me just be clear about this.
Right.
Marijuana is a Schedule I drug.
Right.
Cocaine, methamphetamine, and everything else is Schedule II. Why so?
I've always been curious about
why
that.
Why so? Because they want to keep it where they want to keep it, the government. When you say that marijuana is the most dangerous drug.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Ever. I mean, how so? Because they can't control it the way they truly want to control it. So understanding that, they got to put it in a category that they can control it in and make it a Schedule I drug. Now they have control of it because they can put you in jail if they don't want you dealing it, selling it, growing it, or using it. You see what I'm saying? So that's how they are controlling it, but we don't really deep dive into that. So this is how they keep control of everything that we do. They make a law that say you can't do it. Now they control it.
Right.
And now they can lock your ass up for doing that shit.
Exactly.
So going to jail and getting 6 years, they took you away from your 5 girls?
Yes.
I mean, did that make you, like, did that piss you the fuck off? Did that, how you like, me against the world now?
Oh, man. So I was angry my first 3 years in prison. When I first got there, I went to the hole maybe about a week or two later.
Fuck program.
Because I was, CO came at me, and I just wasn't trying to hear it. Inmate, Man, that just set me off that he wanna call me an inmate. I'm not your inmate, man. I got a name. You right. got a name, I'm gonna call you by your name. I got a name. You call me by my name. I ain't your inmate. You know what I'm saying? So here we going back. Well, I was like, well, I mean, what you saying? You know, I was just on that page, not trying to hear nothing. They sent me to the hole. So yeah, I was pissed off. I was pissed off more so because while I was in prison, I was watching TV and the news, mm-hmm. and I'm watching everybody else on the, you know, channel 7, 11, 5, and so on and so forth, and they're at their shops behind their counters with the weed in their hand, and I'm like, shit, I'm in jail, and they doing the same thing
I was doing.
Exactly, but why I'm here and why they out? Either we all gonna be in jail or nobody gonna be in jail.
Right.
If it's, let's keep it fair. But I sat in jail watching all those people happy, making money at their shops. Yeah, I was pissed off.
And Virgil, let me ask you a question. With that being said, they brought up a great point. You got locked up. There's other people that was off in the streets doing the same thing he was
exactly
doing.
Exactly right.
They didn't look at that at all?
Obviously not, because I did every bit of that 6 years.
And it's almost like just the rules apply only to certain people.
Well, I think if I'm sitting there doing 10, 15 years for marijuana, mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck the amount or whatever. Once you legalize that shit,
yeah.
now you are holding me up under my will.
Exactly.
You're supposed to let me go.
Yeah, let me the fuck up out of here.
Absolutely.
You know, but if they did
this
that,
right here.
That's basically saying they wrong. You can come at them, you can sue them, and here you are. But they don't want to do that. But what you call that? That they make you sign a paper, they let you out, mm-hmm. so you don't come back and sue them.
Exactly.
Yeah, they actually sign your rights away. Mm-hmm. They sign any of your appeal rights or anything. Mm-hmm. You sign that away so you
they
cannot.
They didn't even give you that action.
Nah, they, it was just basically a done deal. Right. When the judge made it very clear to me that I was not going home and that he was going to give me them 72 months, you know. And that's what he said, you know. He was, you know, 72 months was what he felt I deserved for owning legal shops, licensing legal shops. So, you know, yeah, I missed 3 of my daughter's graduations from high school. So, yeah, I was kind of pissed off. Yeah, yeah.
Which you would have the right to be. Man. I think anybody would be in that situation, especially when you're following the rules and shit.
I mean, you give me 6 years and you're telling me you ain't going to let me go, but then you tell me, I don't give a fuck if you do got your license and shit. I'm going to still give you 6 years mm-hmm. because you're a black man and you got these stuff. Should he not be successful? Should he not? If I was in there illegal, like they got this one on Atlantic and...
The trap shop.
Oh, that motherfucker, man, I watched them bang the dough down, put everybody out, take them to jail. Before the police left, these motherfuckers coming right back in there, open back up shop.
Mm-hmm.
They come back this time, they take the bar door, the lights, and everything else out of that motherfucker. That motherfucker open right now in the day.
No doubt.
But, like, yeah, that's some cold shit. That tell you, I don't have no faith in the system because they're going to do you how they want to do you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I would have been trying to do some legal shit. How the fuck can I get out of this situation? We interviewed a young man that broke out of prison.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because
24-hour surveillance.
He wanted to be with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of us just sit there and I'm going to do this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But we got choices and... They didn't give you any.
No, they didn't give me any choices. So at that point, I knew that this was time that I had to do.
Right.
But I was going to do the time under my terms, not under the system's terms.
Mm-hmm.
So what I mean by that is that I rejected everything that the system had to give me. Everything that the system wanted to do, they kicked me out the drug program because I wouldn't conform, so I didn't get a year off. Oh, well. You know, there was when I say conform, the system has a way, and I look at it as petty pleasures. come Thanksgiving, they want to give you this big turkey dinner, and you're supposed to be happy and smiling that they gave you a turkey dinner, but you locked up in prison.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Come New Year's or the 4th of July, you're getting barbecue ribs. You know, I would, every time those holidays came up, I walk in that chow hall, look, hey, who want this? Hand it to them and walk out. I don't need y'all shit. I'm here under my, I'm here because y'all basically are holding me hostage.
Right.
Under my own free, you know, this is against my own free will. And that's how I took my time and dealt with my time. But I stayed thinking about what I was going to do when I got home. And they asked me, like, my last week, 2 weeks, you know, I'm walking the track with a couple of cats. And they say, man, what you going to do? I said, shit, what you think I'm going to do? you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, do you ask an electrician that he been in the game 30 years doing electrician, you know, as electrician, what you going to do when you get, he going back to what he know his profession.
Right.
And so when I hit the ground, the first thing I did was made sure I jumped back into the industry. I got politically involved and connected once again. And I started crafting policy for the city of Los Angeles.
Right.
I brought the whole industry together. And I did this, crazy as it sounds, I did this at Snoop's compound. He don't even know that. Because my office was in his compound when I got home. It was me and Donnie. And I was using Snoop's office, I mean his compound, as where my office was. So we would go there every other day or whatnot. I brought the whole industry, all the heads of presidents of each organization within the cannabis industry. I brought them under that roof and said, this is what we got to do in order for us to make sure that what happened to me and others in the industry don't happen again. Y'all with me? They say, we got you. I said, all right, y'all just follow my lead, and I guarantee you I'm going to take you over the finish line. 18 months later, I passed Measure M in the city of Los Angeles at 80.4%. 80.4%. That's unheard of. Now, what the kicker is, it was done on an off election. That ain't never been done in the history of America. So, me, a black man, who brought all of these white organizations together to make this push for the city of Los Angeles, but I'm always keeping in the back of my mind, the reason I'm in the front of this line is because I'm representing for us.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So my whole goal is to get everybody to support me so I can open up some doors for us.
Right.
So I created the program called Social Equity. Social Equity is a program that makes sure that people of color can participate in the cannabis industry regardless of your cannabis felony or misdemeanor, right? So I'm thinking of the real players.
Right.
Like I'm thinking of the cats that's out there, shit, city we grew up in, shit, damn near half everybody up in there got a felony or a misdemeanor.
Exactly.
So if I allow that to happen, that's knocking my whole city out the box.
Right.
Can't have that. So how do I strategically put myself in position, align everybody to make sure that I take care of my people at the end of the day? And by the grace of God, I did it. And that's why social equity exists in the city of LA.
Wow.
Exactly. You have to be able to, you know, switch the game on them. You know what I'm saying? And change and turn that, you know, that pissed off mentality and something that's just going to slap the motherfucker right back in the face with that reality.
Exactly. And you know, not to cut you off, Abe, but that story is just crazy.
Yeah.
For you to go through all that, please tell me at the end of the day, somebody from some higher court came and said that they had to take care of you and compensate you.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Nobody.
Not even an apology.
No. I still have it on my record except for my state charges. I went and had those expunged. Because, of course, when I did my time, I went to fire camp. And if you do any selfless act for the state, if you do any selfless act for the state, they will expunge your record. They will allow you to apply and have your record expunged. And doing fire camp, that's what that was. So Yeah, but nah, nobody was going to come to me and say or tell me or do anything for me. That was not going to happen under no circumstances. So, yeah, nah, to really come at that question direct, I didn't expect nobody to do nothing for me. I never expected nobody. The system damn sure don't expect them to do nothing for me. I always expect them to do something to me, but never something for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So as long as I don't trick myself.
Right.
And the way I didn't trick myself, I watch a lot of cats trick themselves up in that situation.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
And in that system, I watched a lot of cats trick themselves. I never got caught up in that.
How did they, what you mean by trick themselves?
They bought into the system. A lot of them bought into the system in so many different ways for so many different reasons, but I did not allow myself to buy into the system. Like, you got cats in there who look at what they did and felt what they did was wrong. You was trying to feed your family. What's wrong about that? You was trying to eat like everybody else. What's wrong about that? These were the tools that was given to you, because you weren't given the same avenues as Johnny was given.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't trick yourself into believing. I never felt I did anything wrong. To this day, I haven't done nothing wrong. Why? Because you relicensed me. I got relicensed when I got home by the city and the state. So then what did I do wrong? It just confirmed my belief to start with.
Wait a minute. You went to jail and had license, but when you got out, you was able to go get the same license you had.
I was relicensed under the new ordinance. Now keep in mind, I played a role in creating that ordinance too.
Right.
But I got licensed under the new ordinance by the city and the state of California as a convicted felon, so to speak, which I don't even carry that title. As someone that really was taken away from his family and locked up.
Yeah, he was kidnapped.
Like a slave.
He was kidnapped.
He was turned into a slave for the state for 6 years.
Exactly.
And just to say all that, because the laws, of course, are so different now, thanks in part to sacrifices like brothers like you, unfortunately, but they can't get away with this shit, man.
They did.
Yeah. Yeah, my, them 6 years gone.
Yeah, they gone.
Yeah, that's
fucking you.
See,
do?
I gotta applaud him because I would be so, you know, that 6 years is gone, that's right. And they just get to skate off. It's kind of
like. You can either go after and try to fight them, which that's a long ass battle, or you can pick up where you left off, say, fuck that, I done did it, and then have the mentality you had and say, I'm finna create this right here.
Right.
Use I'm pretty sure they damn sure looking at you now like, damn.
Yeah, they laughing. I mean, they can't do shit.
Yeah, we couldn't break
it. Laughing in face right
it's a done deal, yeah. And always look at it, you did what you could do.
Exactly.
You shot your shot.
Right.
You got that off. But guess what? I'm back.
Yeah, because they pissed off
some shit.
Motherfucker right now. Mm-hmm. Because he was, in so many ways, he was the... We're going to make an example out of this motherfucker type of movie. You get me?
Well, yeah.
Even though it's the other cats in the motherfucking business doing their thing, he's the black man from Compton. You know, we know about what's going down, so we can't have that. You know that happens anytime anybody's successful of our color and shit.
But you gotta remember one thing. They took me out the game for 6 years. It allowed Madman to come in the game. It allowed all these cookies to come in the game. It allowed these other bigger businesses to come into the game and all of this other corporate money to come into the game while I was gone for 6 years. So let's just say they didn't take me away. I'd be the biggest thing in the industry right
exactly.
now. Madman wouldn't even be able to eat my lunch. Scraps off my table because I'd be running everything. I had 6 stores in 2005, 6 locations. How many you think I would have had I stayed in the game? Oh, I'd have tried to eat up everything that was in my way.
It's sort of like it was a motherfucking plan. You get me? Like they got a plan because they know other motherfuckers is on the come up or want to get into the business. So we got to stop him because we know Virgil is on the rise right now.
It's just like the pharmacies, man. Some motherfuckers try to outbid and they do your ass in because it's big money.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you know you have to be careful, which you didn't see it coming. You know what I'm saying? Here I am. I got all my licenses and shit up here. Everything they need if they walk in this motherfucking door. But still I get handcuffed. Mm-hmm. All these other motherfuckers got the same shit. Here, they got brung out, but they go back into their shops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only motherfucker to go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the bullshit in this?
Yeah, it's a lot of bullshit and hypocrisy. You know?
Definitely.
And it's just like I'm sitting up here literally, man, I'm mad for you and I'm upset because they do him like that. That means that anytime they can go grab one of us, worse, our sons, it's almost like you're in a no-win situation. Yeah. That's why the just system as a whole just needs a massive overhaul because that was kidnapping.
Yeah, because it's been designed to fuck us over. That's the problem. The system has always been designed to fuck us over, especially us of color, who in the situations of, you know, we from Compton, we from Long Beach, South Central, wherever we from.
I think it was a business thing where you probably had some people needed to get you out of the way.
Exactly.
And spent a lot of money to get you out of the way so they can implement some of the shit that they had. To implement their agenda.
Well, it was people that was glad I was gone. That's for sure, because I was, you keep in mind, Compton to the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
So I got 6 stores. I had one on Compton. I had one on Crenshaw on 141st. I had one on 47th and Crenshaw. I had one on 16th and Maple in downtown. I had one on Western and Maplewood in Koreatown. And I had one on Sepulveda and Sherman Way in the Valley. So I was covering a line going from Compton to the Valley, and people would stay shopping in between my locations because they know, one, I had the best weed at the reasonable price and great customer service. So I provided everything that other shops didn't think to provide. You know what I'm saying? When you came in my shop, it was very different. So I went to other people's shops and I watched how they did their thing, and I saw the things that I didn't like, I saw the things that people didn't like, and I made sure I didn't do those in my shop. So that's what made me better. less than one year into my business, I was named as the number one store in Southern California, the Compton store, which was my goal to try to do that. I can be somebody from Compton and do it better than anybody in the industry.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because they don't think we can.
Not to cut you off, brother, but that's it right there. That's why they had to get him out the way, because
You just heard it.
Yeah, you just heard it.
Yeah.
And he represents everything that they fear. He's a dude from the community.
Right.
That the community, black, Mexican, other, whatever, they will come and support, because it's right
there.
Damn
right, because the community is spending their dollars right there.
So, yeah, it was a massive conspiracy, I believe, man, that you just think.
Something definitely wrong. Like you said, it was a lot of us probably spending money and they people spending money too.
Exactly.
You get me? Now when you know, that's just like motherfucking when you're making the records or some shit. Well, you can sell to us, but when you start going over to that pop side, motherfucker, boy, you hit another level.
Yeah, you gotta go. Yeah,
you got it cracking. When you got the other people walking in the store, they
spending
money.
Let me tell you something. Sure. I have more white folks that's coming to the Compton than the courthouse.
Goddamn.
You know what I'm saying? Than the courthouse.
Yeah, coming down there.
They feel they're getting something official. Let me ask you this, man, because you a well-rounded brother, man, and for you to rebound from what you did, man, I salute, because this is a beautiful location.
Right.
How did you get started in weed? I know we could probably come and talk about it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's an open book. I started selling out the liquor store, my daddy's liquor store on 124 for Wilmington.
Yeah, I heard that. What you call it?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's where I started. And with that, I began to expand my territory, because we had the Rosecrans store, we had the Compton store, and I'm a neutral cat that get along with everybody.
If you're from Compton,
so
you know them locations.
I have all sides of Compton. I had your neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? Everybody over there that was selling me, Spanky, Juice Flip, everybody, all the cats, they know, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had all them cats over
Five
there.
Beer, you got the dubs at.
Man, you was already versed in retail.
I was versed in retail. It just made sense to me, because it was what I was already doing, but it was in something that I really wanted to do. Right. You know what I'm saying? So between those two liquor stores, I was able to touch a lot of people. And then you got to keep in mind, we talking late 80s all the way through the 90s and then into the 2000s. So if we look at that era, gangbanging was on the rise in the 90s.
Right.
Crack selling was on the rise in the 90s. And then 92 was the L.A. riots.
Right.
So you got to keep in mind what the volatility was going on around there. And I was still functioning through every community.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you can't name a spot that sold weed, Earthquake Sounds, Stripe on Wilmington. You can't name a spot or a hood that I did not have weed selling in, because that was my goal. I always kind of joke with myself, like Frank White said in The King of New York, if a nickel bag is sold in Central Park, I won't need it. I felt like if a nickel bag was sold in Compton, I won't end.
You was doing it.
And because dope selling was the thing to do back then, crack.
Right.
All the D-boys came to see me. Because guess what? When they go bounce out of town to Denver, to Oklahoma, and all the places, they need weed. Because they can't get no good out there.
Right.
So they come to me. So I'm talking about all the heavyweight players in Compton through those eras. And y'all know them.
Right.
They all came
That's
to
when the police
that store. Should
have been on your ass when you're moving that way. But when you got legit.
But see, the thing was is that my name wasn't my name. I wasn't who I was.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
When you walk into the liquor store, you couldn't approach me.
No way.
Talking about, hey, man, I heard you got that Bud. Yeah, I do. Bud Light, Budweiser. Yeah, door number 5. There you go.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But you couldn't approach me with that foolishness because I don't know what you're talking about, homie. Ain't nothing popping like that here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I began to create a different atmosphere for myself. My goal was to deal with who's running this spot.
Right.
Who's running this hood. That's who I need to talk to. That's who I need to be dealing with. And because I went to Linwood, I grew up in Compton, then moved into Linwood for a while, I was known all over. I was, like I say, number one athlete, quarter miler, and hurdler. So a little popularity was there.
Right.
Running my daddy's liquor store, then I began to start familiarizing myself with every neighborhood in Compton. Not just some of the hoods.
Right.
Every neighborhood. You see what I'm saying? And so getting to know who was running, who was shaking and moving in those neighborhoods, who was the head baller over there.
Right.
I made that my business to build relationships.
Right.
And Watts, all three projects, made it my business. Broadway's, Main Street's, Avalon's, 60s, A7. I'm telling you, it was my goal to make sure that I covered as much territory as I could. And because if this is what I'm going to do, one thing my mama told me, whatever you do, you be the best at it. If you're going to be a clown, you be the best clown.
That's right.
Well, I made it to be the best weed shaker and mover
on
the east side.
Man, look,
back in it.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
So how many shops you got now?
I have 3 shops.
3 shops?
Yes.
3 shops, man. I want to talk about your excellent product here.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
What's this? Because, you know, for all those out there not in TV land that can't see me.
He said over here, eyes of motherfucker.
I thought I smoked the best weed of my life the week before.
What have I been telling you?
This right here.
What have I been telling
this
you?
This right here. And I'm going to tell you the thing I like about it. I'm nice and high, but I don't feel out of control. Like, I'm
exactly.
Still, you know what I'm saying?
That's what you get when you get quality weed. Mm-hmm. You get me?
And it's excellent for the back pain. Some
yes,
kids at home. I'm doing this for my back pain.
Right.
You know, it's for my cataracts.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got
no cataracts.
My cataracts. He's an experimenter.
So, yeah, you know, this
is testing everything.
You know, this is for test research purposes. I had to research it, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Validate everything. So, something that's unique about your situation, I noticed, you're retail. You have your own line. And you do distribution too, if I'm correct.
Cultivation and manufacturing.
Cultivation. It took a lot to go. You know, you don't. That's like that's a lot of agriculture involved and all kind of others.
You got to know your shit.
Yeah, you got to know your shit.
Yeah.
This is just not like a the logistics to go into something like this is just. You know, you put this together despite being knocked down for 6 years.
Right.
It's just real inspiring.
Yes. One thing they could do is they could take away your freedom, but they can't take away your mind. Mm-hmm. And so what I made sure is that my mind stayed sharp while I was in prison. I still did study, and I still stayed abreast on what the industry was doing. I made sure I had advocates send me a lot of information to keep me up to date on what was going on in the cannabis industry. So I never fell off of my craft and what I do. And mentally, I knew what I was coming home to do.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so you got to keep take advantage of every opportunity to sharpen your skills and your tools. Well, for me, it was to think, was to sit back and plan what my next move is once I'm released. Always said, all they got to do is open that door, and I'll show you what I can do. Right. You know, the thing is I'm good at what I do. You know, I don't know anybody that move as much weed and covered as much territory in the areas that I've been in. Like, I was in the roughest areas, and look at me. I ain't no Billy Badass.
And
you know what I'm saying?
On some low-key shit, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. On some low-key shit. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I you know, when I talk about the neighborhoods that I moved through, like, L.A. cats that I was dealing with, I like, hey, man, well, you know, hey, man, I need to grab some stuff. I'll be at the liquor store. Come to the store. Man, we ain't coming to Compton over there. L.A. cats would not want to come over there to Compton.
To the store,
not on 124th from Wilmington. They didn't want no parts of it, right? I used to tell them, I said, man, you good. Just tell them you coming to see me. And they like, you sure? I said, yeah, man, just tell them you coming to see me and you good. And, you know, people would hit them up in the parking lot. I'm coming to see Bird. I'm, you know, and they was good.
Now, where can people find this? You said you got six locations?
Three locations.
Three locations. Where are those located at?
So I have one on 74th and Crenshaw, 7415 Crenshaw Boulevard. And then I have one 1601 South Soto Street in Boyle Heights. The old Sears building. I'm right next to the old Sears building off of Soto and Olympic. And then I have one off of Melrose, 654 North Manhattan Place, just right off of Melrose and Western.
We got to create a Gangsta Chronicles discount code, so if they come in there,
yes,
and mix some GC,
absolutely.
They get, you know, 5% off or something like
that. Absolutely, absolutely.
And so, you know, back to talking about your brands, these are all cultivated by you.
Yes, sir.
That you have right there, and this one right here I have is a hybrid.
That's a hybrid, and then the strain is on the back.
How many different, do you have your own pens and vapes and everything too?
I have my own pens, so I cultivate, so I grow the flower. I manufacture, which means I extract my own oil, which means I have vape pens, I have edibles, anything on a concentrated level. I have shatter, wax, crumble, sauce. This is all the stuff that all the dabbers and the dab heads and the concentrate consumers understand. And then I also have my apparel, which is California Cannabis Apparel. I'm a complete brand. I'm one that does everything from top to bottom. And I created that is because I wanted to make this a desirable brand. I wanted this brand to be for everybody. I wanted to be for the soccer mom. I wanted to be for the hippie, the beach bum, the gangster in from the city I'm from, which they had it way before everybody else did. Because California Cannabis, I've been providing that long before the name.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, in the city. So you can't name, and my man Nate, no, you can't name a rapper in Compton and come buy weed from me.
Exactly.
Coolio, DJ Quick. And he really didn't even smoke weed. He was more of a drinker at Eazy-E, Dreister and BG Knock. They was all coming to Dre, all of them, back in the NWA days. And then even I was going up to Death Row.
Man, you serving, an undercover legend, bro.
You're serving death. I was serving death row. Snoop, like you know, Snoop's first purple kush came from me. You know what I'm saying? So that's when he first signed with Death Row. And, you know, I was coming through there all the time. Can-Am Studios. I was dipping through the end, dipping right back out. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
You know, that's I would just creep in and creep out because I was there. I wasn't one of those that you would see hanging out. That wasn't my thing.
Right.
My pager, it was blowing up every time. I had too many people that wanted to see me, so I would come handle my business, and then I'm out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No, I don't need to meet nobody. No, I don't need to see you. I don't need to know who you are. Thank you. Have a good day. I'm gone. It was just that with me when it came to that. And I done been to shit damn near every studio in Southern California. Larrabee North, Larrabee South, Echo Sounds. You name a studio, I can promise you I done been there and dropped off weed to some artists.
Right.
You know what? And big misconception, I think, that it's just hood people coming in, or degenerates coming in buying marijuana. How wide is the range of people it is that you service?
To be honest with you, I have more middle-aged and elderly that are in my patient base and in my customer base more than anything. We talking 35 and up is my larger consumer population. Youngsters are not as they're not as big as consumers, at least not in this legal space, than the elderly and the middle age. People are age, people 30, people late 20s, mid 20s. Those are the people I see. As far as anybody like 21, I rarely get, you know, young people coming through like that.
You see, weed is just an everybody thing.
Exactly. It is.
Everybody,
and it's becoming that too.
Because, you know, like me, I didn't start probably trying to experiment with weed a little bit until this past year because of the knee and back pain. And my partner QT down in Texas, he'd been smoking all in college and everything.
I've been smoking since I was 13 years old.
And he should tell me, still here, if you know your old ass, your back won't be hurt as much, you need to just go and smoke some weed instead of trying all her bullshit. Man,
no.
I started fucking with the CBD flower. My partners had the CBD flower. It really is. It got a lot of medical properties.
Well, CBD has your medicinal properties. So does the THC. Because people think that CBD is just CBD by itself. No, it's CBD with THC. Now, it has small traces and small levels of THC within the CBD, and it wouldn't be active. It can't activate. In other words, those properties, healing properties, cannot activate without THC. This is what people don't understand. CBG, CBN, CBD, and THC, and all of the components to that molecular structure of the THC plant all have to work in unison, all have to work together. It's like me taking both arms and legs off of you and then say, go function. That's not going to happen, right? And so you can't extract and pull one thing out and think that it's going to work in its entirety. God made that plant to work in unison the way it is, and it's perfect.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Form. So it's a misconception that when people say, oh, this is straight CBD, no THC. No, there is a small trace of THC.
A little small trace.
Exactly. It may not be detectable if you take a test or whatnot that will come out in a failed drug test or whatnot. But just know it is there. There are small traces, and it have to be there for the plant to activate.
It works.
Oh, it definitely does.
It works. You knee pain, back pain, all that going around. Because I actually heard that older market was going to be a rising market because more people are moving away from the pills and everything. Because you see the effects of that.
But the unfortunate part, and I'm glad you said that, is that we are not participating in this industry as we should. There are 188 shops licensed in the city of Los Angeles, only 4 black owners. They're in the state of California. In the state of California, you have 2 in Oakland, you got 4 down here. You see what I'm saying? Our numbers are grim and dismal.
So there is only 6 black-owned marijuana shops.
Absolutely.
In the whole state of California.
In the whole state of California.
That's some fucked up shit.
Yeah, it is.
Real talk.
Yeah, so this is what people end up missing. They'll see black faces behind the counter. They'll see black faces doing this and that, Latino faces, and they think, oh, that's black owned, that's Latino owned. You see how many black folks up in Cookies? Cookies ain't owned by not one black person. Show me one, name me one. You know what I'm saying? When you look at these shops that we gravitate to and go spend our money with, they're not us. And they're not doing anything for our community. What has Cookies done for our community? Except for sell weed up in there, take our money and going back to the valley where they came from and the Bay Area where they came from. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't mad. You know, they jumped at an opportunity and did business, but we as consumers have to understand where we need to be putting our dollars. These are black-owned businesses within the cannabis industry. Very few. Why are we not supporting those and those only?
Right.
Same product. I grow product. I've been growing longer than Cookies been growing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've been around longer than Madman been around. He got his idea of multiple locations from cats like me. Because before he was even thought of in 2004, I had 6 of them. And was looking to buy 4 more before I got arrested. I was already in a deal to buy 4 more stores and have 10. And my goal was to sit on them 10 for about a year and then start buying up other folks. So we have to understand that we need to take control of the business aspect of certain things that exist within our community. And that's what we have not done in the cannabis industry. And our numbers will always be low, and we will then begin to complain about they keeping us out of the industry. Well, a lot of it is we not getting involved.
Right.
Well, where can brothers go to get that type of information for those out there that may be interested in jumping into this trade?
Well, they can always reach out to me. My email address is vg@californiacannabiswc.com. They can reach out to me and I can provide them with all of the information regarding this industry. If you want to get involved, be it cultivation, manufacturing, distribution, retail, or delivery, I can point you in the right direction because I've done them all. Like I did before there was a transportation or distribution license, I was going to Humboldt, to Humboldt to Compton. See, I back in those days, my connect was direct. So I had growers in Humboldt that I was driving 12 hours up, 12 hours back to go get my product and bring it to Compton and sell out in 3 days. I couldn't keep enough weed around.
Man, motherfuckers were smoking weed in Compton.
Man, dude, for real. We had some of the number one spots, and that's what I say. There would not be an industry today for corporate America to even think about considering if it wasn't for players like me keeping the clientele flowing in our cities the way we did. I used to see white folks come up in Compton all day to hit all of them spots that's up in Compton. They'd be over there in the pockets over there on North Street, the Grandees in their hood. They on that side of town. I seen them coming through the trees and the fruits when I was over there. I mean, they was coming through because when Dre put out the Chronic, people wanted to know what Compton was like with that weed. You know what I'm saying?
Every place I fucking toured, motherfuckers would be like, "You brought some of that Chronic?" No bullshit.
Most of the ones are weed. Because everywhere else you go, they got that.
They got that dirt bullshit.
Bark bullshit. And
I'm telling you, that was the first thing a motherfucker would ask. When they would see us breaking it down on the table, they would be like, "What the is that shit?" Mm-hmm. And they hit that shit and they just be floating. Like, oh my God, I got to get to L.A. Niggas be ready to take a trip just to come get some motherfucking weed. Telling you.
Man, this has been one of the most interesting, enlightening episodes that we've done.
Informative,
too. Yeah, it's like very informative. And we could sit up here and talk all night, man. You got an incredible story, man. This is incredible about what you got going on now.
Exactly.
I think it's good because we lucky that we're finding these guys, these brothers,
with these
hell of a stories.
Yes, indeed.
And nobody would have ever knew your story if we wouldn't hear. You know what I'm saying? Now everybody going to understand. This was straight Double Jeopardy bullshit. Mm-hmm. Damn if I do, damn if I don't. We want you, we going to get you. Mm-hmm. Regardless if you're not guilty or not, we can make you guilty.
Yeah.
Type of bullshit here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it took 6 years from a brother for them to do that and not give a fuck, not offer no money, not offer nothing on the back end, no shit or nothing. Yeah, so, man, it's just a lesson to all of us that we all got to be careful. And like you said earlier, we got to start supporting our people. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't blame nobody but ourselves because we don't go in the stores and do what we do.
Yeah, you're exactly right, man. What's your website?
So the website is www.californiacannabiswc.com.
And social media?
Social media is California Cannabis WC. You can just hit me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can see me on all of those. When you see the double C's for California Cannabis with the heart. But everybody, just so y'all know, there's always a double entendre within what I do. Double C, City of Compton. You know what I'm saying? I put it all in the mix with my logo. I made this logo. The green represents cannabis. The gold represents the Golden State, California, and the heart for the love of what I do in the cannabis industry.
That's a cool logo, too.
Yes, it is.
That's a real cool.
And I created that logo, not a marijuana leaf or a bud or nothing like that, is because I want my stuff to sit in Best Buy, in the commercial places, Target, Walmart, and so that's a soft and friendly logo, but it represents what it represents.
And it's dope, too. Man,
yes, indeed.
Support this brother. He has some good product.
Yes, indeed.
And he's doing some big things, and he's one of us for sure. And that's it. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to this episode of Gangsta Chronicles again. Subscribe, download the iHeart app for sure. Apple Podcasts, leave us a comment. We out of here.
Peace.
Gia.
Thank you.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.